Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You by Neo Gentrix. Here we are yet again for the next episode of Season 3. How you guys doing? Today's topic is going to be on leadership. I feel like it's something that I should definitely cover, considering that we just covered caffeine yesterday. Or at least in the last episode. There's a lot of things to consider. Like, everyone who thinks that they understand or know what a leader is, or exactly how to describe a leader in their own terms. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to actually explain what is a leader, a few leadership traits, and some strengths a good leader needs. We'll see how far this goes. But let's start with, first off, what is a leader, right? Everyone has their own ideas about what the meaning of the word leader or leadership is, and the words are widely used across organizations and countries in a huge range of contexts, including religion, national, voluntary, organizational. It just depends. However, the only idea that can truly be said to be completely common to all concepts of leadership is that the leadership is the person in charge of or leading their followers. This is a known fact, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to explain more about what it means to by the terms of leader and leadership, and we'll also explain that leadership can also be both formal and informal, and short and longer term, depending on where and how it's being used. So, with that being said, let's get started. All right, all right, all right. First off, defining what a leader is. This is probably one of the most important things that we got to do here, right, is define what a leader is. It's understood that most people understand, or at least think they understand, what a leader is. First off, the word lead. It means to show a way by going first, to proceed, to direct, to guide, to conduct. Okay? Whereas the word leader is one who leads or goes first, a chief, the head of the party, an expedition leader, things of that nature. Based off of the dictionary in, I do believe it's the Chambers English Dictionary. That's what I have here. This one's old. It's the 1989 edition. So this is about as far back as at the moment I have. But we'll just go with that. This definition, therefore, covers both formal and informal leadership, okay? The leader might simply be the person at the front of the group, either in a physical or metaphorical sense, or they may have been appointed to the position regardless of circumstance. There are other definitions of leadership, okay? For example, Frederick Arnander, in his 2013 book, We Are All Leaders, suggests that leadership is not a matter of position, but a mindset. In the article written in the Nigeria's Premium Times, I think his name is Bamidel Ademola Alatetu, don't quote me on that, I struggle pronouncing a lot of African names. He basically stated, a leader goes in the front, leads the way, and by his actions, people follow. And then, of course, the late Nelson Mandela also said that a great leader of South America, who's a great leader in South Africa, once said, it's better to lead from behind and to put others in front, especially when you celebrate victory, when nice things occur. You take the front line when there's danger. Then people will appreciate your leadership more because they know that you actually mean well by them. So, it's clear from all the definitions of leadership that a leader must have followers, by definition, to go first, and there must also be people behind you. So, he who thinketh he is the leader and had no one following him is only taking a walk. Therefore, you're basically talking to air. As weird as that sounds, it's pretty straightforward, don't you think? So, something to keep in mind, okay? Formal and informal leadership. A leadership appointment, such as a chief executive role, carries a degree of formal authority and power. In other words, the chief executive can be, by virtue of their position, ask other people to do things and expect to be obeyed. They can also delegate their authority to other people, members of the board, for example, or senior and junior members within the organization. These people can then exercise that power on the leadership's or leader that's given orders' behalf. However, few chief executives or any of other leaders, for that matter, can afford to rely only on the power and authority vested in their position. They also need what's known as informal power. This is the power that comes from people wanting to follow their leadership. It is the result of a leader being inspiring or charismatic, or creating a vision that people want to believe in, or simply that the leader is doing what their followers believe is the right thing to do. Okay? We'll definitely dive into some leadership skills more. I started doing this a little bit before, I do believe, in the previous season. But we'll try to do it a little bit more moving forward. But to that end, without this informal power, any leader, no matter what their formal position in the organization, will struggle to achieve anything. Okay? When a leader only has formal power, people tend to agree to do what they want while face-to-face. However, once they're out of reach, they will probably just do nothing or something else entirely. Or something just completely different than what they know or think is the right thing to do. Which now brings up a question. Is there a difference between good and bad leadership? If I'm being perfectly honest, there is. Well, unfortunately, for organizations and individuals, not all those appointed to these positions of power are necessarily good leaders. It's actually quite hard to believe or define good leadership, or even good facets of leadership. However, it is quite easy to identify some fairly dysfunctional styles of leadership, which at least gives new leaders an idea of what to avoid. I can definitely testify to this firsthand, okay? First off, dysfunctional leadership includes approaches where, and I got, let me see here, I got two main ones. The first one's not as long, but we'll knock it off and then we'll knock it out and we'll move on to the second one. The first one is, the leader is the sole decision maker and arbitrator of all things. Okay. You can already see the problem, right? This approach sees the leader as the only person who can have ideas or make decisions for the organization, which in this context includes a business, a family, or even small voluntary groups. The rest of the organization must, therefore, be his followers. They don't get to choose. They're just assigned to him. His way of thinking, of course. This means that they take no initiative, make no decisions. Those people are also free of responsibility for the outcomes of their actions because he's the leader, so he takes all the responsibility. This presents a big problem for the organization as a whole and followers as individuals because, one, there's no synergy. Two, there's little or no initiative. Three, there's little or no incentive for anyone to do anything good except just follow orders. And four, very little reason for anyone to not do bad, quotation marks, around the word bad, things that are within the letter of the law. As the organization grows, there are more decisions to be made, and each one also takes longer. The organization, therefore, tends to get stuck and is unable to move rapidly and is in an agile way to respond to environmental changes. They just can't do anything. The second dysfunctional leadership type, this is the one I see a lot. The first one is common, very common, but it's not typically the one you'll see because typically when the first one is in action, it has a tendency to crumble fairly quickly. People are still fairly okay with doing what the leader wants, as long as they're at least a nice person, even if they do come off as bossy. So you'll still see the first one probably more often. They'll probably be a little bit more stable than the second one I'm about to list here, okay? The second one is, the leader is always right. Oh, Lord, this is not something that anyone should ever have to do or say. I hate when people say, well, the leader's always right, got to do what he says. Nah. They're making fun of you. They're not praising you. Okay? We all make mistakes. It's part of being human. However, some leaders are not prepared to admit that they've made a mistake. They must be right at all times. Those around them soon learn that the only way to succeed in the organization is to just say yes to the leader. This is not good. Okay? There are two main problems with this. First, nobody's right all the time. And if you honestly believe that, I pity you. I really do. If a person sets themselves up as always correct, it will rapidly become clear both within the and beyond the organization that this is not the case. The leader's reputation will then suffer. They will find it much harder to wield informal power. Their level of influence beyond the organization will also suffer. Second, nobody will want to challenge anything, even if they know it's wrong, which is not good. A willingness to debate ideas is a single sign of healthy organization, and one that can experiment and innovate and grow. Failure to challenge poor or biased thinking will lead to poor ideas and ultimately organizational failure or something worse that might end up costing someone their life. This is not good. The big problem with both of these patterns is that the longer that this leader type is in the post, the harder it is for the organization to recover. I have a few business examples, but rather than state who they are and risk getting in trouble, I'll just say that there's a lot of gas stations out there and a lot of other companies and grocery stores that do this. So we see them start to fall apart and fade, and we're like, well, what is wrong with them? They should be making plenty of money. There's a lot of people coming and going, and the reason is because of bad management choices. We all know a company or two. I won't name any. Done this, and we've worked for them. We each have our own opinions, and we all stand to believe something that would be better for the company than whoever's in charge. My girlfriend works for a said company. She doesn't like it there. She knows that they mistreat the employees, but what can she do? You know? So the leaders become less tolerant of independent ideas and thoughts the longer they stay in office. And the led become less capable of being led, or more likely, anyone who is capable will just move on. This is fine until the leader retires. At this point, the organization may struggle with succession planning, but I mean, the past has basically showed time and time again, families with a commanding father or mother tend to be dysfunctional. Nations with a cult of personality around a single great helmsman tend to suffer in the long term. Hold on, let me back up on that a little bit. Apart from hereditary monarchies, very few rulers have managed to hand over power to the next generation successfully. Okay, so from Oliver Cromwell up to modern day totalitarian regimes, the point of succession has often been the point of which the country clearly stopped and just said, no. Enough is enough. Okay, so there are a few exceptions to that one, but I mean, it's the same general idea. Also, companies ruled by the iron hand of their founder fail when the founder dies or retires. Even if they've been grooming a successor to take over, large numbers of family firms do not make it into or through the second generation. A good example of how to do this the right way would be Panda Express. The company as a whole is still controlled and run by the family. There are no franchises. It seems like they are, and they're run by different people. But in all honesty, they're still involved actively with the company to the point where if the parents aren't the ones doing it, their children are the ones going out. And they inspect the stores. They check to make sure everything's running like it is. If it's not, they correct it on the spot and they move on. They still leave these places to run on their own accord. However, with the way that they're structured, they're always checking in. They're always trying to make sure everything is working like it should. So there's no dysfunction within the company, and they're still able to make the money that they need. Consider the fact that when you go inside one, they're always clean. They always have food. If something's odd and doesn't look right, they're quick to fix it and prepare fresh food. So, I mean, there's good leadership and there's bad leadership in more ways than one. Let's take a break right here. All right, so let's talk about emergent leaders. This is the next thing in this list, right? So most leadership that has been discussed here so far relates to formal positions of leadership. However, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that anyone can lead, even if they only do so briefly. I've done it briefly. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't really like it. But if I have to do it, I'll do it, you know? There's also no need for any formal appointment to determine a leader. I'm being perfectly honest here. There's no reason to appoint leadership. It just kind of happens. Sometimes you don't even need to be appointed as a leader for people to recognize you as one, okay? Examples of this type of emergent leadership include, let me see here, I have 5 examples. A child at the playground suggesting that a group of children might play hide-and-seek together. The words, "let's play hide-and-seek," are enough, provided that the other children agree. To give a child leadership roles, however briefly it may be, may even last long enough that they are permitted to say who should be the seeker in the next first game. You know? So, or how about a member of a book club suggesting a particular title to read, or that it might be a suitable time to start discussion or move on to the next question or issue for discussion. You know, a team member in a business who, when the team manager is off sick, suggests how the team might coordinate their lunch breaks to ensure that the phones are always being manned. These are just a few examples. I have like 2 more. But I mean, essentially, someone who demonstrates maturity and calm when difficult changes are proposed at work, modeling the behavior that managers would like to see from everyone, this is what you call an emergent leader, okay? They're typically the first person on the scene of an accident, briefly taking on a coordinate role, or they might, for example, provide first aid or someone to call emergency services. They would probably be perceived as a leader until the emergency services arrive, or they are able to handle the leadership over to someone more qualified, such as a passerby with the appropriate qualifications. Emergent leadership can be extremely frivolous, okay? Derek Sivers uploaded a video on YouTube. You can check it out. It's called Leadership Lessons from the Dancing Guy, which clearly shows how a person can, with no particular vision and certainly no rhetoric or verbal communication, can become a leader in the style or fashion just by doing something fun. It's possible to attract followers and therefore, by definition, become a leader. YouTubers do this all the time, you know? Leaders come in all shapes and sizes and are seen across all aspects of human life and endeavor. It seems likely that we are all capable of being leaders in somewhat, somewhere, somehow, if we wish to do so and are given the right encouragements and incentives to do so. This brings up another question, okay? What type of leader, what are leadership skills? Well, the question of what makes a good leader, in other words, or what are leadership skills, is widely debated. It's clear that the ability to lead effectively relies on a number of key skills, but also that different leaders have different characteristics and styles. Okay? There is, in fact, no right way to lead in all circumstances, and one of the main characteristics of a good leader is their flexibility and ability to adapt to changing circumstances. Leadership skills are highly sought after by employers, and they involve dealing with people in such a way as to motivate, enthuse, or build respect. Okay? Whether or not leadership itself can be taught, there is no question that there are a number of core skills that most good leaders have. These skills can be learned from anyone and by anyone, okay? Skills good leaders need. I'll dive into them a little bit more in a bit, but strategic thinking, developing a vision of where you want to be, planning and delivery, planning how to achieve your vision and dealing with challenges along the way, people management, finding the right people and motivating them to work towards your vision, change management, recognizing and responding and managing and changing to your vision and plans. Communication, working on the ways to communicate your vision to others and listen to ideas. Or persuasion and influence, encouraging others to help you achieve your vision by demonstrating its advantages. Now, this could be used twofold. This could be used to promote people and, you know, get them motivated to do stuff, and it could also be used to manipulate people if used wrong. I will not be covering that half of that in this podcast, so please, if you can, dissuade yourself from any interest of trying to manipulate people, because if I'm being perfectly honest, that will backfire a lot faster than anything else I've ever mentioned in any of my other episodes. Remember, the whole point here is to be the best you that you can be, consider that as the next thought moving forward. Okay. So there are a number of broad skill areas that are particularly important for leaders, right? And these include strategic thinking, planning, and delivery, people management, change management, communication, persuasion, and influencing, like I said before. Let's dive a little bit into them, into each one, just a little bit, okay? Strategic thinking skills. Perhaps the most important skill a leader needs, and what really distinguishes leaders from managers, is the ability to think strategically. This means, in simple terms, having an idea or vision of where you want to be and working to achieve that. The best strategic thinkers see the big picture and are not distracted by side issues or minor details. All their decisions are likely to be broadly based on their answers to the question, does this take me closer to where I want to be? That's the question you got to consider. Of course, as well as being able to create the compelling vision, they also must be able to communicate it effectively to their followers, which is partly why communication skills are also vital to leaders. You know, saying that now, I probably should cover creating a vision and communicating a vision, but we'll get into that in another episode. Okay. First off, creating a vision that you have to be able to communicate is not a simple matter of having an idea or just having a really good idea. Good strategic thinking must be based on evidence, and that means being able to gather and analyze information from a wide range of sources. This is not purely about numbers, but about knowing and understanding your market and your customers, and then, this is also crucial, using that information to support your strategic decisions. We've covered the SWOT analysis before on this channel, and it's one of those things that you can definitely use to help come up with your vision. There's a couple other things that I would love to cover, but we're going to have to cover that in another episode. There's quite a few of them. Okay? And one of them would be the 7 P's. Wow, I would love to cover the 7 P's. But for now, next is planning and delivery skills. See, we've circled, come full circle. While it's important to be personally organized and motivated as a leader, you can check out my podcast episode on time management and self-motivation on what I mean by that. It is perhaps even more important to be able to plan and deliver for the organization. These areas are key management skills, but the best leader will also be able to turn their hand to these and use them in the way that they need to. The best vision in this world is no good without the plan to turn it into reality. Along with strategic thinking, therefore, goes organization and action planning, both essential for delivering your vision and strategy. Project management and project planning are also helpful skills for both managing leaders and managers as well. Good risk management is also important to help you avoid things going wrong and manage when they do. A couple of skills, and if I haven't already covered this in a previous podcast episode, I'll cover it in the future, just let me know. A good example of these would be organization skills, project management skills, project planning skills, action planning, and risk management. I'm pretty sure I've covered risk management, but I mean, that's just a few. Good leaders often have a very strong facilitation skill as well to manage groups effectively. I feel like I should probably cover facilitation skills. But leaders also need to be able to make good decisions in support of their strategy delivery and solve problems. With a positive attitude, you can't be trying to do this and be like, I can't believe I have to do this again today. All right, people, let's get started. The sooner we finish, the sooner y'all can get off and go to home. You can't do that, okay? You have to keep a positive attitude. Problems can become opportunities and learning experiences, and a leader can gain much information from a problem addressed. Going back to, you know, decision-making and problem-solving. Next would be people management skills. Without followers, there's no leaders, and leaders themselves need skills in working with others on a one-to-one and group basis, and a range of tools in their armory to deal with a wide range of situations. Many of these skills are also vital for managers. You can also find out more about these in my management skills episode, but anyway. Leaders are expected to motivate and encourage their followers, both directly and indirectly. One of the first skills that new leaders need to master is how to delegate. This is a difficult skill for many people, but when done well, Delegation can give team members responsibility and a taste of leadership themselves and help them to remain motivated. Okay? We'll cover delegation skills next time because I feel like that's relevant in what we're talking about. So we'll go ahead and do that. As well as overseeing work, because there are further challenges in delegating work within a team, including balancing workloads and ensuring that everyone has been given opportunities to help them develop. But the problem that a lot of people end up running into is people overseeing their work and becoming very, very overactive managers. You know what I mean? You know the kind I'm referring to. Let's not make names, okay? Leaders and managers both need to understand how to build and manage a team. They need to know how to recruit effectively, bring people on board through inductive processes. They also need to understand the importance of performance management on a regular basis and to manage poor performance properly. There's a right and a wrong way to do this. 4, change management and innovation skills. Now, I did mention this before, and it's not something I'm going to dive into too much because there's not really a whole lot to say. It's pretty straightforward. Let me just put it that way, okay? Change management may seem like an odd companion to people management and communication skills, but leadership is often particularly important at times of change, okay? A leader needs to understand change management in order to lead an organization through the process. For example, change management requires the creation and communication of a compelling vision. We're going back to that whole vision thing, right? It also requires the change to be driven forward firmly, and leadership to make it, stick, okay? If the organization is not to revert within a short period of said change, okay? Definitely something I can dive a little bit more into moving forward, but for now, I'm just giving like a brief overview of each of these skills, right? So the fifth one was, what was it? Communication skills, I do believe. While communication skills are important for everyone, leaders and managers perhaps need even more of these. These skills are generally interpersonal skills, which we've covered quite a few of them on this channel, not specific to leadership, but successful leaders tend to show high levels of that when they're communicating. Good leaders tend to be extremely good listeners, able to listen actively and elicit information by good questioning. They also are likely to show high levels of assertiveness, which enables them to make their point without aggression, but firmly. They know how to build rapport quickly and effectively to develop good, strong relationships with others, whether peers or subordinates. These skills come together to help build charisma, with that quality of brightness which makes people want to follow a leader. You know, leaders also know how to give their views on personal performance in a way that will be constructive rather than destructive, and also hear others' opinions of them without freaking out, getting mad, or punishing them for their view on how they see how the leader acts. They are usually very good at effective speaking, equally and skilled at getting their point across in formal presentations or board meetings, or informal meetings or casual corridor conversations. They've also honed their ability to communicate in difficult situations, usually by practice and over time. So communication skills is something that not just even leaders need. It's basically something that everybody needs at some point in their life, but it's definitely one of the main skills that leaders definitely need. And I do believe the last one I mentioned was persuasive and influencing skills, right? So finally, the one particular area of communication that is effectively or especially important is being able to persuade and influence others in the right way. Good leaders can use a range of tools for this. For example, they can use persuasion and influencing. They can also start developing their persuasive skills if they don't have any. Leaders need tools to help them understand the way that others behave and create positive interactions. As a positive first step, it might be helpful to understand more about emotional intelligence, which we've covered before on this channel. It's another vital quality for leaders to possess, but there are a number of other tools out there that are just as useful. Like I said, these are just the first 6. There's a long list of them. Between the transactional analysis, the emotional intelligence, the ability to oversee work, there are so many skills related to just being a leader, you know. I might be on a leader's kick for a while, just like doing multiple episodes on this, but what I'm basically saying is understanding leadership, okay? Many people consider it to be essentially a work-based characteristic. However, leadership roles are all around us. They're not just in the work environment, okay? Ideally, leaders become leaders because they have credibility, because people want to follow them. Using this definition, it becomes clear that leadership skills can be applied in any situation where you're required to take the lead professionally, socially, at home, in the family setting, in a park, especially situations where leadership might be called for, but it may not seem immediately associated with that type of idea. Like planning or organization of big family get together, celebrating a wedding anniversary, a birthday, responding to a person's death or illness, organization of taking care of arrangements for said thing, making decisions, moving, getting children in school. In other words, leaders are not always appointed. Leadership skills may be needed in many circumstances. With apologies to Shakespeare, I guess we might as well say that some are born leaders, some achieve leadership, and some have leadership thrust upon them. I can definitely admit to this. I've had leadership thrusted on me many times, whether I wanted it or not. You know, and it kind of leads back to the original question that started this episode in the first place. But what exactly is a leader? Put simply, okay, a leader can be defined as a person who leads or commands a group, organization, or country. Okay, it's broad. The definition is very broad and could include both formal and informal roles. That is, but both appointed leaders, regardless of circumstance, those who emerge spontaneously to lead in the face of certain events, like in recent years, considerable evidence has emerged that the strongest organizations and leaders tend to permit and actively encourage each member of the group or organization to take the lead at some appropriate point or junction. Organizations and families with particular controlling leaders, by contrast, tend to be fairly dysfunctional. So, more often than not, when someone wants to take the lead, but nobody else wants them there and doesn't want to listen, you're going to have a lot of fallout. Even if you may be the best person, sometimes it's better if you don't take the head role. Sometimes it's better to lead from the shadows and just be the person in the back who suggests what to do by letting someone else take the role so that they can learn the skills they don't have. Leadership, therefore, is basically a practice. In its practice, is fairly fluid. Leaders are made by circumstance. The crucial issue is that people are prepared to follow at the right moment, and sometimes they're not. They also struggle with the concept of how to be a leader and how that's different from being a manager. You may have heard that the idea that leaders do the right thing and managers do the right thing. This is a fairly delicate distinction. Like, many leaders are also managers and vice versa. Perhaps the key difference is that leaders are expected to create and communicate a compelling vision, often associated with change, whereas managers, on the other hand, are perhaps more often associated with maintaining and keeping the status quo. It just depends on how you look at it. Now, I will have to, now that I've done said that, actually cover, and I will cover this next time, leadership is not management, okay? These are two different things. I would definitely love to cover that in more depth, if I'm being perfectly honest. But as far as these skills, you can develop leadership skills no matter what. Many people are wondering if leadership can really be taught. And yes, it can. People with vested interest in academics and those offering leadership training and literature of some sort are convincing or even convinced that they can. And there have been many successful leaders as a result of these that have never had formal training. For them, leadership is a state of mind, and in their personality traits, that's what makes them a successful leader. Some can be taught. You can teach it. It's not impossible. But there is clearly a balance to be struck between the two positions as far as being a leader and not being a leader. Okay? There's no question that some people are intrinsically more drawn towards leadership roles than others. However, it would be nonsense to suggest that, although this has been a mooted point in the past, that many people with certain physical or personal traits could lead. For example, it's clearly been proven that being male, being tall, and does not of itself make someone a better leader, although many leaders have been both male and tall. Just because that's been the case doesn't mean that that's always true, okay? It seems most likely that leadership requires certain skills, and some people have them, some people don't. And other skills you can be, can learn. So yes, can leadership be taught? Yes. Yes, it can. There's also different leadership styles, which I would love to cover in more depth, but briefly here. One of the most important aspects of leadership is that everyone is the same. Everyone is not the same. We're going to correct that now. Of course, we all have heard jokes about mushroom leadership. Keep them in the dark and feed them manure, and seagulls swoop in and squawk and drop unpleasant things on people. You know, joking aside, there are many different styles of leadership, okay? Different leadership styles are appropriate for different people and different circumstances, okay? And the best leaders learn to use a wide variety of styles. There are many different models of leadership, but perhaps one of the best known is Daniel Goleman's 6 learning styles. This is about almost certainly one of the models that's most strongly rooted in research. It might help some explain some of the popularity behind it. I will definitely cover them in more detail in a later episode. But essentially what they are is there's coercive or commanding, which is the whole do as I say thing. There's the pace setting type, which is do as I do right now. There's authoritative, come with me type personality, learning style, leadership style. Then there's the affiliative type of leadership style, where people come first. There's the democratic approach, the what do you think? And then there's the coaching. Try it and see. Okay? The question becomes now, what kind of leader are you? Okay, so now to move on to the last thing I want to say before we close out. Entrepreneurship, self-employment, and freelancing. I guess you can say they're often linked to change management and otherwise, but they basically still require leadership skills. Those people who are in this type of category are typically leaders within their own right, even if they don't realize it, okay? But these skills are required in order to set up your own business. However, are not exactly the same as for leading a large organization. Freelancing becomes a very significant part of developing economics, whereas in the United States, as many as 55 million people work as freelancers, 35% of the working population, contributing to about $1.4 trillion to the economy. It's predicted that freelancers will soon become the workforce majority. And in India, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, they've also have large self-employed freelance economies as well. So if you want an example of how leadership can be definitely used, these are just a few different things in the range of what there is to offer, okay? Well, with that being said, I want to thank you guys for sticking around and listening to me speak. Thank you again. This has been Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You with Neo Gentrix, Season 3. If you like what you hear, don't forget to hit that subscribe button down below. If you have any suggestions for future episodes or you want to have me cover a specific topic or return to a previous topic and dive more in depth, leave a comment down below. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.